Imagine a church welcoming and a safe place for everyone, seekers, doubters, believers, feeling loved, accepted, cared for. Imagine a church of every age and race and color, fully devoted, spiritual, Christ followers, passionate for an ever deeper relationship with God through Christ. Imagine a church where the praise, the worship, and the teaching are truly pleasing to God. Uplifting services where the Bible teaching builds up the church family, equips people to live for Christ. Imagine a church full of children, youth, and students. A church impacting their lives, enabling them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Imagine a church where everyone is fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, exercising their God-given gifts in joyful and fulfilling service. Imagine a church eager, fully surrendered to the Holy Spirit, exercising their God-given gifts in joyful and fulfilling service. Imagine a church family where lives are being changed. Imagine a church family inspired and eager to get involved in the needs of local, national, and international mission, where members are regularly called out into ministry. Imagine being part of such a church. Imagine helping to build such a church. Our 2020 vision, which we wrote about 10 years ago or more, is built on three very simple words that summarize our purpose as a church. Win, build, send. Win stands for evangelism, build stands for discipleship, and send stands for mission. In our Bible reading, in Mark chapter 1, I invite you to turn to it with me, Mark chapter 1. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus summarizes what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. He begins his ministry with this call, the call of Jesus. Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Mark 1, verse 17. Win, build, send. The order is different for Jesus. It's build, send, win, but it doesn't matter because this is a cyclical mission strategy. And it doesn't matter where you begin. What matters is that you're involved. And similarly, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, there is a message in this verse for you. As you listened to me read sentences from our 2020 vision, which sentence or sentences really stood out for you? Probably you heard different things to the person sitting next to you. You may have felt different emotions at different times too. Some of you were confused. You're not sure why you're here, and that's okay. You have yet to hear the call of Jesus, come, follow me. And if that's you, unashamedly I say, we want to win you for Christ in 2015. That's our agenda. So be warned. Others of you who heard the 2020 vision were comforted. You were thinking to yourself, this is why I'm here. This is my spiritual home. This is my family, my place of service. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And if that's you, I say unashamedly, we want to stretch you. We want to build you up in your faith in 2015 to make you more fruitful. And if some of you were neither confused nor comforted, you were hearing the 2020 vision again, and it brought conviction. You know God is speaking to you about going, about mission. And I want to say to you unashamedly that we want to send you out in 2015. Because we grow by multiplication. So there's a message here for each one of us. Win, build, send. What is God saying to you this morning from those words of Jesus? Come, follow me, and I will send you to fish for people. Joanna and I visited our daughter Louise in Hong Kong the last 2 weeks on holiday, and we attended their church in Hong Kong. It's called The Vine. It's an amazing church, and I spent 2 Sundays there, and I spoke at their Manor Bible School, and I discovered that they do something the same every Sunday that was very significant. They use a 10-minute countdown before the service begins, and they show pictures of Hong Kong and the local church in action, and then there's this big number in the middle counting down to naught, naught, naught. And as soon as it goes naught, 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 bang, away we go with the music group. So services always start on time, and you know when the service is going to begin. I'm thinking about that. But more significant than that is the fact that as the numbers are counting down and as the images are coming up of their church family, one of the pastors is reading their vision statement. Every Sunday morning, everyone is reminded of why they're there, what their vision is as a church, what has God called them to be as a church, their priorities, their purpose, their reason for existing as a church. I like that. So watch this space. But in our Sunday morning sermon series, we are exploring the Gospel of Mark. And today, we're going to discover from this verse, Mark 1, verse 17, the origins of our strategy as a church. And the first outline, the first heading, is that we see here the call of Jesus is for discipleship. Jesus is in the business of building his church. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. That's how he began his ministry. And I want you to notice that this is a passionate call. There's passion here. This was a command. It was not a gentle invitation. Come literally means come here. Just like Margaret told the children, come here, you know. You have a choice. You either hide under the chair or you come here. Your destiny, says Jesus, is to follow me. It was a command, a passionate call. Notice what it meant for the disciples. What did it mean for the disciples? Verse 18. At once they left their nets and followed him. What does that mean? It meant they left their income. It meant they left their occupation. Verse 20. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Might mean leaving your family. It might mean making some costly decisions to follow Jesus. This is very radical because in the first century Palestine, the norm was for disciples to choose their rabbi. You know, church hopping is not a new idea. People typically choose the church these days for their style of worship or the preaching. And if one of them changes, well, then they move on. But Jesus reverses the tradition. Jesus does the choosing. He calls. This is a passionate call. And it was a purposeful call as well. Come, follow. It conveys the idea of following as a learner, because that's what a disciple is, a learner, committed to imitating the one being followed. And that's why as a church we place such an emphasis on our Sunday clubs for the children, our youth clubs, our student activities, our Thursday courses, our Bible study groups. Because we want to learn how to follow Christ. We presently have 10 or 11 of our home groups meeting weekly or fortnightly around the community. And we meet for prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. But we plan to host a new one at the Vicarage from February. And Simon and Naomi will be starting one after Easter. So if you're presently not in a Bible study group and you're interested, let us know. If you're in a group, stay there. And during the 5 weeks of Lent, from late February right through to Easter, our sermon series will be based on the question, what is my purpose in life? We're going to be looking at the five purposes God has for each one of us, which Rick Warren has summarized in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And we're going to have copies of the book, and we're going to encourage you to read it as a chapter a day for 40 days during Lent to discover what it means to follow Jesus. Passionate call, purposeful call. This is a personal call. Come, follow me, said Jesus. Jesus calls us to follow him, not a denomination, not a sect, not a theological system, but Jesus. And notice this emphasis is on following. It's a verb, not a noun. Many make the mistake of assuming that being a Christian is simply someone who believes in Jesus. You know, I believe in Muhammad, so I'm a Muslim. I believe in the law, so I'm a Jew. And you believe in Jesus, so you're a Christian. The result of that is that in much of the world, Christians have given Jesus a bad name. You know, when I visit Muslim-majority countries, I often encounter a lot of ignorance and misunderstanding as to what a Christian is. And one way I try and cut through that is to quote Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Luke 6:46. And then I say to them, as I try and present the gospel in a sensitive and a tactful way, I say a follower of Jesus is someone who's following Jesus. If someone's not following the teaching of Jesus, they're not following Jesus. If someone is following Jesus, you'll notice something about Jesus. The Apostle Paul said exactly the same thing. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So it's okay to follow our spiritual leaders as long as they are following Jesus. This was a passionate call. This was a purposeful call. This was a personal call. And notice what the result was. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Without delay, they followed him. What about you? What about you? Are you willing to follow Jesus wherever he leads in 2015? The call of Jesus is to discipleship. Secondly, I want you to notice that the commission of Jesus is for mission. The commission of Jesus is for mission. I will send you. I'm going to send you, says Jesus. He's only just met them. He said, follow me, and I'm going to send you. He doesn't say, you're going to have to do a 3-year intensive full-time theological training course, and then I'll send you. He says, follow me, and I'm going to send you. You see, Jesus called his disciples to be his representatives, his ambassadors in other places. And he's chosen some very, very eccentric people. For a start, these were fishermen. Some of them were rather radical political people, you know, the zealots. One of them worked for the Romans. He was a tax collector. But then when you look back in the Bible, you see that God chose some very eccentric people. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, the prophets. He chose Israel herself to be a light to the Gentiles. So we shouldn't be surprised that he chooses eccentric people today. You see, Jesus said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain." John 15:16. And when Jesus calls us to follow him, before he sends us out, he equips and empowers them. He equips and empowers them. In the Great Commission, the words of Jesus just before his resurrection, his final benediction, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always, to the very end of the age." So although he was leaving them, he wasn't. How could he be with them forever? By his Spirit. Because he also said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And then he sent them finally and permanently, and he never told them to come back. That's why we, as a church, place such an emphasis on mission. We have 12, mission-linked partners, most of them with a personal link. It's Claire Hartley, serving with Compassion, Ben Niblett with Tear Fund, John Rogers with DAI, David and Esther Wood with Compassion and Agape, Kristen Evans with East to West, and this week, as I've announced, Colin Rye will be serving full-time with DAI. Furthermore, our mission partners are linked with our home groups intentionally, because there is a link between building up and sending out. You see the link? Building up leads to sending out. That's why we expect our home groups, especially, but everyone who regards themselves as an active member of our church, to come to our first Wednesdays for prayer and mission focus. That's why we support mission trips, such as the student visit to Moldova the last couple of summers. That's why on Wednesday I'll be going to Northern Uganda. It's a very remote part of Northern Uganda, Nebbi, but it's a very strategic location because it has direct access into the Democratic Republic of Congo and also South Sudan. And we're going to have pastors and teachers from both the Congo and South Sudan joining brothers and sisters from Uganda. And we're going to be learning how to use the Christianity Explored course to win, build, send. It's an evangelistic course. How to lead people to Christ, but it's also a course designed to build up the church as they study Mark's gospel together and learn to follow Christ, and it's a training tool to equip leaders to win and build themselves. And next week, Paul and Tanya will be visiting Lausanne in Switzerland to discern whether the Lord is leading them to serve him there. You see, we are in the following and the sending business. And if that's disturbing, if that's uncomfortable, then remember that we worship and follow a fast God, always leaving when we're arriving. We think we've made it, we're secure, and Jesus is going on ahead of us, calling us to follow him. But you don't have to go abroad, you don't have to go full-time to engage in mission, because many of you are active locally in mission agencies. BSEM, for example, the food bank, Egham Kitchen, the local retirement homes, the hospital chaplaincy team, the cruise bereavement counselling, even in the local prisons. But if the Lord is speaking to you about getting involved in mission, then talk to one of the people I've mentioned. So far, we've discovered the call of Jesus is to discipleship. That's the build. And the commission of Jesus is for mission. That's the send. Which leads us to the third element, winning people to Christ. The concern of Jesus is for evangelism. Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. You see how cyclical this strategy is, as catalyst for multiplication rather than simply addition. He trains disciples to make and win disciples. He would command his disciples to do many other things, but their primary first responsibility is to fish for people. To fish for people. You know, my father spent his life building buses, but in his spare time he was a fisherman. And he would go off at night with his rods, his flask of hot tea, his tilly lamp and worms from the garden, and he'd go out onto the beach in Lowestoft and fish. And as I would wake up in the morning, I could tell whether he'd caught anything because of the smell coming out of the kitchen as he was gutting the fish. We didn't have a freezer in those days, so it was on a good night, we would eat fish for many days, as would our neighbours. In the same way, the good news of Jesus is for sharing. It's for sharing. And because it's so important to us as a church, we have an annual evangelism strategy which revolves around the seasons. It's termly, monthly, and weekly events that are designed to enable us to fish for people. Christmas, Easter, and harvest, we arrange special services. We put extra literature out to promote events, to present the good news in simple and clear ways. On a termly basis, we arrange breakfasts, like the one we had yesterday with Harvey Thomas. And if you missed it, it was an amazing presentation, but the video will be online this afternoon. He was the former director of communications for the Conservative Party. He was blown up by the IRA and the Brighton bomb. And from that moment, his life was transformed. Not a single bone in his body was harmed or broken. And he began a ministry of reconciliation from that day on. We arrange our termly Christianity Explored course. And this is designed for those of you who want to know who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and how we can know him. Our next course starts on Thursday. And so today is your last chance to sign up. And termly, we have our open-air baptism services. They are significant events where young and old who come to faith in Jesus are given an opportunity to say why they want to follow Jesus. And that's very challenging to their friends. We have our murder mystery play, harvest supper, rogation walk, carnival capers, summer picnic. These are all designed to enable us to bring our family and friends to hear the message of Jesus. And our Connection magazine goes to every home in Virginia Water every month in which we try and present something of the message of Jesus. And right now there are four or five roads that need someone to deliver the magazine. And if you are interested in joining that team, talk to Leslie Borpenny. But about 5 years ago, we did a survey at Christchurch and we asked 80 of you who or what was most influential in you becoming a Christian. And I was amazed when I re-looked at the results. Parents came in top, 27%. Relatives or friends, second at 23%. Then there was a big drop down to youth leaders, youth camps, Bible readings, Alpha Christianity Explored, pastors, Sunday school teachers, dreams and revelations, a Christian book, Christian service. But guess what? Missions came in with naught and evangelists came in with naught. It's quite humbling for pastors and evangelists. Now, okay, that was a small survey. So don't read too much into it. But what it does show is that half of all surveyed said a relative or a friend was most influential. And parents were the largest category. Then it came down to youth leaders and youth camps. But the church-based staff, all our programs and all our events accounted for just 20% as the primary reason. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that our activities and our events will only be significant in the transformational work of the gospel in people's lives if we are the means through which that message is delivered, through genuine friendships and through sharing our testimony. And that's why we've included in your outline this morning two examples of how to present the gospel in a simple and clear way. Because the Apostle Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. I hope you've begun to see how our mission strategy as a church is based around the strategy of Jesus from the very first call of his disciples. Come, follow me, and I will send you to fish for people. What was the impact of Jesus' call? The impact, verses 27 to 28, was quite dramatic. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority?" And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. That is the basis for our strategy here in Virginia Water 2, to win people to Christ, build them in the faith, and send them to do the same. Imagine what our church will be like when we are fully committed, fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, buying into the strategy of Jesus. Imagine a church of passionately committed people reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus Christ. We will be an unstoppable force for good in our community, an inspiration to other churches, and a testimony to the world of God's unfailing grace. A church against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. Welcome to 2015. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for bringing us to our church this morning. Wherever we've come from, wherever we are on our spiritual journey, please help us to reflect upon the call of Jesus and respond to that call in whatever way you lead. We ask this for your glory and for the building of your church. In Jesus' name, amen.